been seen on CNBC, the Fox News Channel, and the Fox Business Channel. His articles can be found on MarketWatch, Seeking Alpha, TheStreet.com, and many other places. He's the author of the weekly Best Stocks Now newsletter and the inventor of the Best Stocks Now app. He's president of Gunderson Capital Management. Here is professional money manager, Bill Gunderson.
And welcome to the Thursday morning, February 17th show. We'll title today's show, Barry, Ugh. How do you spell Ugh? Is it UGG or UGH? I think it's UGH.
Yeah, we might need it. Yeah, we need a little more room for maybe an L and a Y over the next handful of days.
Yes. But for now, the symbol is UGH. And I've told you, I've warned folks out there that this has been coming. And we prepared ourselves. We built, a moat around ourselves and battened down the hatches. You've got, rising interest rates and inflation colliding with a high PEs. That's what it boils down to. And then throw in Ukraine and Russia in the mix, and you're well served to have some inverse ETFs right now, which are serving us quite well here today. The Dow is down 406 points, 34,528. It doesn't look like Russia is pulling back any troops from the border. It seems to me like it's escalating. But we shall see. The S&P 500 is down 56 to 44.18. We have two inverse positions against the S&P 500. The Dow, obviously, we have inverse positions there against the S&P 500, which is also serving against the Dow. A lot of the same stocks there. NASDAQ down 165. We've got a lot of inverse positions there on high tech, small cap, et cetera, ARK. Russell 2000 down 21. Oil's down $1.55 to $92.11, but I'm seeing pretty good action in the oil stocks in the early going. I'll tell you what's really heating up. Please take note of this. Gold up $23 per ounce today, $1,894, closing in on $1,900. The 10-year is down 8 basis points in a flight to safety at 1.97%. So welcome to today's best stocks, best inverse funds, best commodity show with professional money manager Bill Gunderson, 23 years behind the trading desk here and behind the mic, and of course, chartered financial analyst, certified financial planner, Barry Kite. Those are couple of designations that come in quite handy at a time like this. And I would say those 23 years that I've been managing money and those two massive bear markets that I witnessed back in the year 2000, and then, of course, back in 2008, I wouldn't trade the experience for anything. I would rather have not gone through them, but I wouldn't trade what I learned and the experiences that I had. You know, back in 2008, 2009, it was obvious that the lending practices had become way too loose. Those were not AAA mortgages that Wall Street was packaging and selling in those mortgage security packages that they were selling all over the world. And something had to give, and it did. We had the financial crisis when lending came to a halt. And draconian measures had to come into place in the form of TARP funds and Treasury Secretary Henry Paulson getting down on his hands and knees and begging for those TARP funds. It was quite a time.
Yeah, and take this money and then making them take it, right?
Yes, and then there were several of those companies that aren't around anymore, like Lehman Brothers, Bear Stearns, Countrywide Financial. There were some shotgun marriages there between Bank of America and Merrill Lynch and others. And
Wachovia, was it Wachovia and Wells Fargo?
There was all kinds of forced marriages, okay, forced marriages with a shotgun pointed at them. And then, of course, the market bottomed out 2009. It worked. Whatever they did worked. I think probably the biggest sin of the Fed is keeping interest rates at zero all of this time. That's where they're still there until this coming March. And That has allowed these massive bubbles to build, P.E. ratios almost as big as the year 2000. Now you're seeing a massive bubble in the bond market, 40 years of interest rates falling, and now that pivot to a rising interest rate environment. And all hell is kind of breaking loose, but there is some order to it. There are those sectors that benefit from a rising interest rate environment, but there are those sectors that are just going to continue to get creamed by a rising interest rate environment. And then, of course, we've got Russia and Ukraine thrown into the mix right now, and it's all holding the market hostage, especially that situation right now. You know, yesterday it was reported that they were backing troops off. Instead, I saw just the opposite. I saw a report that the shots had been fired across the border there from Ukraine.
Right.
Of course, this is in the Russian newspaper. I don't know how much you could trust either newspaper. So, you know, it's not settling down. And I just remind folks that Ukraine has the third largest arsenal of nuclear weapons in the world, and I want to say Russia's number one, so number one and number three. We hope it never comes to that, but you know, that's a very tense situation over there. It threatens Europe.
Well,
okay,
the speculation kind of is what threw me off. It's like, you know, put it this way, we will know if there's a de-escalation, because you know, there's going to be, Putin's going to need some form of concessions, and then he's going to hold those concessions up for everyone to see, hey, we're pulling out and here's what I got. You know, I mean, he's not just going to pull back, and I mean,
no.
In my opinion, he's going to,
not till
you'll
he
know
gets
it
what he
he's
wants.
Gonna, yeah, you'll know it because he's going to tell you what he got in order to pull back.
So, and if he doesn't get what he wants, then, you know, it's
exactly.
Anybody's guess.
Yep.
So yesterday was a directionless day in the market as conflicting stories come from the Russia-Ukraine front. The oil and gold stocks were by far the leaders of the day yesterday. And I would say that that's the sector that's emerging right now. That I'm seeing is all of a sudden there's a flight to gold. You know, that's kind of like, wow, this is kind of scary. And it's putting some demand out there for the shiny metal. And I saw a few gold stocks breaking out yesterday. The chart of the day for me, without question, was Barrick Gold. Symbol G-O-L-D. I don't know what it's doing today, but it busted loose to the upside. They also had an earnings report. And then there were some smaller gold stocks that were breaking out, and gold is headed towards 1900 right now. Who knows? Maybe it gets to 2000 during this little run that's going on right now. Maybe oil gets to 100. I don't know. We'll see. Low P.E. stocks continue to do much, 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 much better than high P.E. stocks. There were a couple of high-profile crashes in the high PE space yesterday in Roblox and Shopify. There's a couple more crashes in that space today in that high PE space. The Dow is below its 200-day moving average, which is not healthy. The NASDAQ continues to look very weak. Commodities continue to be strong. All right, January, let's see, we got to get to the jobless claims. That wasn't a very good number, I didn't think. Kind of surprising that it jumped up to, what, 285,000 on this Thursday?
Yeah, and of course, you know, it depends on how they interpret it, right? Is it just noise because of, you know, the end of Omicron? As the Fed, right, you could take it a couple of different ways. To me, it's, you know, my guess is they'll say it's noise and still continue on, right, with obviously with the idea of raising. But it is a surprising number.
Yeah, it's a surprising number. And, of course, the Fed minutes came out later in the day. The market liked that. All of a sudden, the market went positive briefly and then started to sag again. There was a pretty heated debate in those Fed minutes about whether to hike 25 or 50 basis points come March. We'll see what happens there. And also, I think the consensus there is to speed up the unwinding of the big bond portfolio, the balance sheet that the Fed is currently sporting. I think that was those minutes.
That was probably the biggest. That was the most anticipated piece, I believe, of the of the Fed minutes was what the talk about the balance sheet, because that's the one thing we don't hear as much about, right? It's always about raising rates, but that's the the balance sheet is the that's their Wizard of Oz, right? All their switches that they flip behind the scenes. That's what it is.
Yep,
and the sector big balance sheet.
It is. The ETF and the sector of the day yesterday that I wrote down, IEZ, oil and gas equipment. Oil and gas equipment. We'll talk a little bit more about oil and gas when we come back. This is Bill Gunderson and Barry Kite. It's the Best Inverse Funds Now show. Welcome back to the second quarter of today's Best Inverse ETFs Now show and stock. The oil sector still looks pretty good. The banking sector still looks fairly healthy here with rising interest rates, the insurance sector, etc. But there's a lot of ugly out there, a lot of ugly. Symbol UGLY matches a lot of stocks out there. Just what worked in 2020? Here we are, 222. Ugly. They're ugly. All right. I do have a little update here on the Best Stocks Now app. We've got all of our data being updated now. That was quite a chore, Barry. That took a long time to get that all up. We bring in a massive amount of data.
Well, and you got to make sure it's clean.
And I have to make sure it's clean, and I have to make sure it's going to the right place. And then the next step, obviously, is crunching all the data, applying my algorithms and formulas to come up with that all-important ranking and those grades. And that's our mission today, laser-focused in between, managing money. And I'm hoping, keep my fingers crossed, by tomorrow morning we'll have the grades, because therein lies, those have to be totally accurate. That's my secret sauce there in 19 Secret Herbs and Spices that give a weighting to all of the momentum, intermediate term, long term, valuation, safety, all this and that, to come up with one grade at the bottom and a ranking. The rankings are invaluable to me. The rankings of the sectors, the rankings of the asset classes, the rankings of the inverse ETFs. The rankings of the ETF universe, the rankings of the mutual funds, the rankings of the individual stocks within the sector. So hopefully we'll be working on that feverishly this afternoon. And then I'm going to probably just open it up to everybody for a week or two to give everybody use of that database. Now, this is the web-based app. We'll work on the Apple version next, but in the interim, you can use the web-based. The Apple, it's almost done, but there's some things, extra steps we have to take with Apple to get that up and running. The newsletter I'm starting to work on today. I'm almost done updating all the portfolios, where they stand as of today. Versus the indexes out there. You get 2 free weeks of the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com. Okay, there's still a lot of stocks that are doing well in this environment. I have my own list, which I call Best Stocks Now. There's about 400 or 500 in that list. Devon is one of those stocks, DVN, which we own. It's hitting a new high today, 99 relative strength, PE of 15. So it's not all ugly. It's not all bad. But if you're continuing to fight the fight with Teladoc, and you're going into battle with Roblox, and you're in that metaverse, that's not a good spot to be right now, and it's not going to get any better there. That's still ugly.
And how about the quick swiftness of these repricings, right? I mean, you had Roblox yesterday, what, down roughly 25%? I mean, it doesn't...
Shopify.
Yeah, and we don't have to go far back where, you know, with Facebook, right? You know, biggest drop, one-day drop to, what, over 200-something billion dollars in one day.
Yes.
I mean, things are happening swiftly, right? I mean,
yes.
It's
punished.
Not a death, yeah, it's
we
not
call
a death
it punishment.
By a thousand cuts. It's I mean, real fast.
And, you know, look, I just have to bring this up. People think I pick on ARK funds and Kathy Woods and everything, but what was she doing with Roblox yesterday? You know the answer to that?
I think she bought it. It's funny. It said, you know,
she already owns it.
Yeah,
so
and she bought more, and it
bought
was,
a bunch more.
Yeah, and it was like 24. I think it was either 24 million shares or $24 million worth. But yeah, she was quote unquote bottom feeding yesterday on that name.
But she's been bottom feeding on all those names for months now. I mean, she's down 56-60%. She's down 23% year to date. Look, where I come from. The momentum value world, you never average down. You just don't. You don't buy stocks in free falls. That's cardinal rule number one. You buy into strength. But look, everybody's different. The contrarian, she is, you know, an ultimate contrarian out there. Whether it comes to inflation, she says we don't have an inflation problem. Whether it comes to interest rates, she says the Fed's maybe going to hike one time. She's an absolute contrarian. So I admire her for going against the grain, but I don't admire her for losing 56% of her clients' money over the last 12 months. So it is what it is. She was in there buying Roblox, and there's two more today in her portfolios that are absolutely getting clocked today. We'll get to that in a bit. Okay, Devon Energy. Okay, here was the stock of the day yesterday. I want to see if it's following through at all. I would say the blue chip. There's two blue chip stocks. Oh, yeah, it's following through big time. There's two blue chip stocks when it comes to the gold space, precious metals. And I would say Barrick Gold. Barrick Gold has been around as long as I can remember. I go back to when it had a different symbol. I want to say it was ABX.
ABX was
the symbol.
It wasn't always gold.
they merged with some other company somewhere along the way. I can't remember who they were merged with. It wasn't Newmont. Newmont is the other blue chip gold stock, NEM. Now check those charts out. These are the two best charts in the entire market. Gold has been sleepy. It has been sleepy. How many times on this show have I said gold is living in the $1,800 per month or whatever, the $1,800 per ounce neighborhood for a long, long time? Well, guess what? It's finally starting to wake up. It's yawned. It's looking outside and saying, wow, what is going on here? And these gold stocks all of a sudden are waking up big time. I have to go to gold, G-O-L-D, the symbol. Somehow Barrick Gold got that symbol. It didn't belong to an ETF or whatever. The Dow is now down 500 points, by the way. Barrick Gold is breaking out today. Okay, now this is just starting. It's been going sideways, a number one sideways trend until 5 days ago when it broke out on big volume. Now you're talking my language. I don't like to buy falling knives. I don't like to buy huge downtrends and step in and buy more. I like to buy stocks that are all of a sudden emerging under accumulation and just in the early throes of an uptrend that may go for quite some time. You never know. But for me, that's the key place. Do I own gold yet? No. Is it one of the hottest stocks in the market? I want to talk a little bit more about that sector when we come back and why it's catching my eye. That rhymes. We'll be right back. And welcome back here to the second half of the Best Stocks Now, Best ETFs, Best Precious Metals Now, Best Commodities Now. It's a different world. I think you have to think a little bit outside of the box in 2022. There's no question about that. Well, I want to talk a little bit about gold, okay? I want to talk a little bit about the different ways to play gold. Obviously, you know, most people play gold by having some hidden somewhere in the house or in the safe. You know, that's always kind of the last resort. You know, you think about the paper currency and everything, and what could happen to it someday. And you think about, well, gold always holds its value. I'm sure someone will take a gold coin. When they won't take my $100 bill, okay, that's always one of the strategies that is used for gold. Actually, physical gold, holding physical gold. Okay, investing in gold. Well, I can just say that gold has been stuck for a long, long time in the $1,800 area. And what catches my eye is when I see a breakout and I'm seeing a fresh... It started yesterday. It started actually 3 days ago, 4 days ago, 5 days ago. And today it's like blasting off. I'm just looking at the underlying metal, the bullion ETF, GLD. Now the thought being is, you know, if push comes to shove and you need your currency isn't being taken at Walmart, they're not going to take ETF shares probably, right, Barry? I mean, that's where the physical gold sewed into your jacket comes in.
Exactly. That's you're exactly right on that point.
Yes, and I do. You know what? I am a believer in people having some physical gold. My wife, when we lived in San Diego, we were a big recipient of the Vietnam refugees that came to America. They came to Camp Pendleton, and, you know, the Americans fed them and housed them and helped them get acclimated and everything. And a lot of them didn't get out of Vietnam on those last few boats, right? They had gold sewn into their clothing. So anyways, okay, so now... There's ETFs. There's obviously the ETF GLD. You can see that breaking out today. Relative strength is 73, okay? Now let's go. We went to two actual stocks, Newmont Mining, NEM, which are blue chip gold stocks, and we went to Barrick Gold, G-O-L-D. ProFunds has a double on gold. It's UGL, and I've used ProFunds a lot over the years. ProShares, both on their long ETFs, their short ETFs. Most of the ETFs, inverse ETFs we own are ProFunds ETFs. ProShares, actually, ProShares. ProFunds is their mutual funds. They have a double gold, double your pleasure, double your fun, twice the daily performance of Bloomberg Gold Index. And it's breaking out today, UGL. There's also a mutual fund. There's three times gold. That makes me a little nervous. You can go to the Direction Funds. I can't remember the symbol of their three times gold. Is it Dust? Or is Dust the inverse? They have two three times gold, either way, long or short. You can look that up.
Yeah, PM, Dust is the two times. Yeah, Dust is that.
To the upside,
inverse,
the bull?
Yeah.
Okay, well, there's a companion to that. That is two times bull, or three times to the upside. Nugget. It's Nugget, N-U-G-T. Look up N-U-G-T. Nugget. Yes, that's it. Nugget is three times the gold miners index. So, okay, instead of you're not buying the actual metal itself, you're buying the companies that mine gold, the Newmonts, the Barrick Golds, the gold fields. I mean, there's a lot of gold stocks. I kind of keep them off in a little separate spot on my charts. I have a separate list for them. It's good to click through them and see which gold stocks are reacting right now. But Nugget is three times the gold miners index. And then PMPIX is ProFund's mutual fund. It's breaking out too. It's double the precious metals 2-to-1. So that's my little piece on gold. You know, I've always been one that has not had a heavy, it hasn't gone anywhere for a long, long time, okay? And I don't like buying things going sideways. But all of a sudden it's breaking out and it has my interest. We added a gold stock this week to our portfolios yesterday as I just couldn't resist anymore. And who knows, there may be more to come. You might want to check out this week's newsletter. I still have today and tomorrow. I still have some cash too on the sidelines in both our Premier Growth and all the portfolios. I have a little cash to put to work if I like it well enough. So we'll see how that goes. But there's a little lesson on different ways to play gold. Jobless claims, we talked about that. Federal Reserve sees a faster runoff in the balance sheet. We talked about that. Okay, the bond market. It's improving today because seemingly, you know, when you see gold break out, Barry, to the upside, you also see the bond market act because it's a flight to safety. Okay, a flight to safety goes to the U.S. dollar. It goes to the bonds, U.S. bonds, U.S. treasuries. And if it's really bad, if people are really nervous, they go to gold too. So obviously, we're getting more nervous here, okay? The bond market is up today. I use IEF as an ETF there, the 7 to 10 year treasury bond. It's been whacked lately. It's down about 6% year to date. If you just look at the overall bond market itself, it's down about 6% so far this year as interest rates go up. It's having a decent day today because of this flight to safety. But the bond funds, I saw an article there today in Seeking Alpha, they're down, you know, the U.S. aggregate bond Schwab fund down 6.6% year to date. Government ETF BATS, BATS down 5, so about 6, let's call it 6%. Colorado to accept a wide variety of cryptos for tax payment. I wanted to warn people a little bit. You can get a credit card, okay? You can buy crypto at Coinbase, and you can get a debit card to use it. Barry, from a tax point of view, that's a nightmare, and I'll tell you why. If you go out and you put $10,000 and buy Bitcoin, and it goes up to $13,000, every time you use that debit card, that becomes a taxable event because you have to take into account the capital appreciation.
You're essentially selling a Bitcoin, turning it into dollars, and then buying something, even though for you it's one swipe.
So can you imagine like using it at the grocery store and to fill your tank up with gas, the accounting nightmare that creates? They're starting to come up with software. There's several of them out there that will make life easier for you, but you got to realize if you bought any one of these Dogecoin, any one of them, and let's say you got all of a sudden, let's say you cash it in, well, if you made money on it, that's a capital gain, either short term or long term. And you know, I know people that are using their Coinbase accounts as a debit card. Well, if you go into the grocery store or the 7-Eleven, pick up a large Slurpee for $2.09, you got to take into account the capital gain that you just cashed in to buy that Slurpee. So I just wanted to warn you about that and the tax nightmare. I know a lot about this because my son-in-law, a lot of the companies that he works for, he does their books and whatnot, and a lot of them are using the cryptos. And he says it's just an accounting nightmare trying to keep track of it all. Well, that's why we need good accountants out there. Okay, Shopify was the disaster of the day yesterday. and Roblox. There's a couple of disasters today. Roku was a disaster recently. Today it's Backed Holdings, BKKT, which is a crypto stock. And you've got Matterpoint, one that we used to own, getting bashed today. Palantir is getting clobbered, and 10X Genomics, TXG. And those are three more in those ARK funds that they're just getting wiped out again today. Well, what's jumping off the page besides gold? Maybe that's all. I don't know. We'll see when we come back. And welcome back here to the final segment of today's Best Gold Stocks Now show. It changes every day, you know, Barry, because the market rotates. There's been a vicious rotation taking place in the market, an internal rotation since 2020. You had all of that. First you rotated into all the speculative stuff during COVID. And then February of last year, you started to see all of that start to come unwound. We've written many articles about this on Seeking Alpha because they're so sensitive to rising interest rates and inflation. And now you've got a whole nother group. Inflation continues here in 2022. If anything, has gotten a lot worse. The Fed has gotten scareder. What is the word there? More scarified.
I think.
More scared. Is that right? Okay. Yeah. They are frightened. We'll put it that way.
Afraid.
They are afraid. Man, did they leave interest rates too low for too long? And are the chickens coming home to roost on these high PE stocks and high PE indexes? It would seem that way. And now you throw in this whole Russian thing and, you're seeing a little bit, you're seeing the fear gauge go up. Without question, the greed gauge is fallen, and now it's more about protecting, it would seem, until things change and a new cycle presents itself. The ones that I would feature today are pretty easy to choose. We own Nutrien. Nutrien reported earnings. Yesterday it was CF Industries. Nutrien's breaking out to a new all-time high today. It's pulled back a little, but it's up 3.2%. On a day with the market down, NTR, I'm just going to tell you what the results were. Their sales were up 79% year over year. That's the kind of sales that Facebook and those used to have, growth quarter over, you know, year over year.
Right.
Their earnings, $2.40 versus 24 cents last year. That's earnings growth of 929%. And I've been telling people to put your stocks to a test. Relative strength, 93 on Nutrien, NTR, and PE ratio 12. Okay? High PE, I mean, high relative strength, low PE ratio. That's one of the formulas that I think you should really watch for here this year. You don't want low PE. I mean, you don't want low relative strength and high PE. If you want that, go for Palantir. Go for Roku. Go for Roblox. They fit the bill there. NVIDIA's not doing well today either. We got out of our NVIDIA, and that's hurting the semiconductor sector today. NVIDIA's down 7.7%. What's the problem with NVIDIA, you say?
Bill,
the relative strength is 97, Bill. The PE is 60. We're lucky for 16 or lower. It's 60, which makes it vulnerable in a rising interest rate environment. And I like the looks of Newmont Mining today, NEM. It's starting to pick up steam. Its relative strength is 83 and rising. Its PE is 20, which, you know, I mean, historically, gold stocks have traded more in the 30 times earnings area. So it's relative, on a relative basis. I would say the gold stocks are pretty darn cheap here. Barrick Gold has a relative strength of 80 and rising fast, and a PE ratio of 19. And then we'll just go to the short side of things, where we have several positions. Sark, you know what? We'll pick on Kathy again. Someday I'm going to have to write her a, send her a nice letter. Or, I don't know. I probably shouldn't. I don't think she likes me, really. Sark is opposite of ARK. That thing now has $325 million in it. Do you know that that's the fastest growing ETF in the entire ETF universe is SARK? And yeah,
I think the fund manager had to apologize to her.
He does the same thing I do. He
says,
nothing
personal.
No, he says, this is nothing personal, but what you're doing is just goes against all conventional wisdom, and the proof is in the pudding. It's getting clocked every single day. Two or three more stocks implode. Tuttle. And he did. He sent me a tweet saying thank you for mentioning SARK. Look, I'm just out to find investments for my clients that are going to go up. You know what the relative strength of SARK? And of course, Barry, we've written two big articles on Seeking Alpha. It's your choice. You can own ARK, or you can own SARK. Well, the relative strength on SARK is 98. The relative strength on ARK, if I can find it here, is 13. 13, okay? 98 versus 13. So obviously, SARK has been a much, and that ARK fund is ready to break down here. It's down almost 4% again today. It hit a high of 159, and now it's at 70. You can do the math. 159 to 70.
It'd be interesting to add up the inflows and outflows of each, by the way.
Well, I can, yeah. I mean, the money that has left, the redemptions that she has had, she was up to $65 billion at one time. Now she's down to $20 billion. So some $40 billion has left the ARK family. And, you know, the other one is just money's gushing in. It's at 300. It just started. It's already at $325 million. So congratulations to somebody that said, hey, here's an ETF that we need in this market right now. And the reason I chose to invest in it is because that's the most vulnerable area of the market. That and the biotechs and those inverse funds on those two sectors continue to roar. What can I say? All right. Well, I'm working on the newsletter today. I got to get those rankings, make sure we're going to audit all the formulas, and hopefully by tomorrow morning we'll have that ready to go. We're finalizing all of our portfolios for the week. We may make a few buys here today. We'll see how it goes. So we're very busy here at Gunderson Capital. Followers continue to flock to us. I don't know how many other people out there have been warning about what's coming, and it's here, and it's been here for about a year now, but it's really heating up right now. You got to be prepared. You can call us at 855-611-BEST. You can get the newsletter at GundersonCapital.com, GundersonCapital.com. Have a great day, everybody.
This show is not a solicitation to buy or sell any securities. Bill Gunderson or clients of Gunderson Capital Management may have long or short positions in stocks mentioned during the show. Gunderson Capital Management is a fee-based registered investment advisory firm. All accounts are held at Ameritrade. Ameritrade is a member of SIPC and FINRA.